This episode of Ticket Volume is brought to you by us, Invigate. Get service operations under control in no time. Get one free month of our software solution by going to try.invigate.com. Ticket Volume brings you the Associate Director of Customer Support for Princeton University. He's been a solution architect at Tech Systems, the service desk manager at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, as well as other IT and project roles in his tenure. Welcome to Ticket Volume, news and information for improving service experiences. I'm your host, Matt Barron, and I chat with different leaders to share insights on service management, technology, business, and this episode is no exception. Speaking of, what are you looking to learn more about? Leave a comment, connect with us, or share our podcast with someone. Now let's begin. Welcome, Jason Turner.
Hey there, Matt. How are you today?
Good, good. Welcome to Ticket Volume. Thanks for taking some time to be here. We had a chance to catch up recently at a conference, and you've got some great experience, not only in your past that I mentioned during the introduction, but also where you're at right now. You're going through this awesome transition to start something new. And I've been trying to share more details about, like, operations, the where the rubber meets the road on a service desk. And we got talking a little bit about service desk quality and improving service across the industry. So let's break it down. What have you seen in your past or in your current situation where you're working towards quality and service?
So, you know, a lot of what we do is very people-oriented, right? You know, we're the tip of the spear, the feet on the street, you know, we're that initial interaction that, you know, most employees have, you know, with their IT organizations through their service desk. So what we're looking to do is, you know, really improve, mature, more consistent customer experience, you know, during their interactions with our service desk analysts. You know, so a big part of that, you know, is observing, right? So we want to, you know, really get a good handle on what that customer contact is like. And, you know, I'm new to Princeton University, but I've used some of these techniques at other organizations. And in fact, you know, we'll be introducing these, you know, in a short period of time. And so one of them is, you know, what I'll call just call monitoring. And you can do call monitoring a couple different ways. The classic is a side-by-side, right? A supervisor jacks in, sits next to an agent, and, you know, and observes for an hour. And those are really good observations. I would only add is that I think agents are sometimes stressed during that, you know, when somebody's looking over their shoulder. And
of course,
people tend to be like on their best behavior when, like, they know for sure that they're being observed. Again, it's in our arsenal. It's part of our bag of tricks. And I would not discourage anybody from doing those as well. And in fact, you know, we are doing those now. But this another way, you know, is we record our calls. We want to, you know, we record the interaction itself, and then we want to do a random sample and listen to those calls offline. We want to scorecard them so that when we're sitting, you know, with an agent, you know, during their monthly one-on-ones, you know, we're actually talking about real things that happened, you know, in their support life, in their interactions with, you know, with their callers, and it becomes really pointed. It becomes very real world, and I think it's one of those things that really can improve quality in a support organization.
Yeah. When we talk about rubber hitting the road, this is it.
Right. It's
like every call is recorded. You're listening to an actual interaction between a customer and your agent. And you're right. It's like just pick out of the 1,000 calls this month. How many do we want to review? Maybe you're pre-listening to those calls and, like, you know, looking for stuff you're going to coach on, or, you know, just seeing if it's a password reset. Yep. You can forget it.
And now,
so how did you get started on something like this?
Sure. So I think most service desks, you know, record calls. You know, we'll call it a subset of the call center industry, and call centers tend to record calls. I'm sure you've called a call center in your life where they said, you know, this call will be monitored for quality purposes. That's exactly what this is. This is the quality purposes part of that. And, you know, if I were to go 5 or 10 years ago, we're just listening to the audio, right? We've recorded the audio. You've got a 10-minute customer interaction, and you're listening to that interaction in its entirety. There are challenges with that, you know. So when somebody puts somebody on hold, right? So there's dead air. What are they doing? You know, like, and you know, you're listening to it kind of in real time. And, you know, so there are now some better ways, you know, to do this, you know, obviously through technology. And, and what we're doing now. So, you know, 2023, we're not only recording the audio with the calls, but we're recording the video as well. So by being able to see what's going on when there's dead air, did that analyst consult a knowledge base? Did they look at prior tickets, you know, with similar error codes and problems, and seeing what the resolutions are? Did they send an instant message to their peer? You know, hey, have you seen this before? But all of those things, you know, can be visualized now because, you know, we're not just recording the audio, we're recording the video. And we also now have the ability, you know, when, you know, I can kind of cut to the chase. I don't have, like, the niceties, how was your weekend and those kinds of things. You know, we kind of fast forward through those. And and then the other interesting thing that these solutions are doing now is that they're actually converting voice to text. So when we're doing our monitoring, I'm actually able to read as well as listen. And you know, that recording, that, you know, the speech to text part, has the capability to do speech dynamics. You know, so we're looking for the sentiment of that call. Is it negative sentiment or positive sentiment? When somebody says, you know, I really want to speak to your manager, like, that's negative sentiment. When they drop an F-bomb or this is BS, you know, there's no negative sentiment there that we want to, you know, we want to dive into a little bit. And also an interesting thing is, like, when two people are speaking at the same time, they're kind of talking over each other, like, that would kind of flag as negative sentiment as well. So now, you know, in a desk with, you know, thousands of interactions a month, and, you know, and we're striving to talk, you know, we're striving to listen and scorecard 5 interactions. Well, is it a random 5? You know, which ones are those 5? So now, you know, I know that I'll probably be focusing on the ones that had negative sentiment. I'll focus on the ones that had a lot of hold time. You know, so when there's, you know, a 10-minute call, I'll know that there were, you know, 400 seconds of dead air, no speaking. You know, so that might be something that I'll listen to, because maybe, you know, an agent or an analyst was struggling with that. So again, the improvements that have been made, you know, in this class of solution have been, you know, pretty remarkable in the last 5 years.
It's a good way of putting it, because I'm listening to your stories and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I would have killed for this as a help desk manager.
Right, kind of the holy grail.
And we should mention the technology specifically, because I want people to know, like, who is the technology that's providing.
So the
this?
One that I have the most experience with is from a company called Calabrio, and they have a very, you know, capable, mature, full featured, you know, offering. You know, they do a lot of things, you know, in the call center space. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the kind of modeling and forecasting and workforce management, but those are capabilities, you know, that are in. It ties in directly to your ACD system, the cloud-based solution, and it's really smart and continues to get smarter.
Nice. Man, you can really tell how all of this combined together is really going to amp up that coaching, those coaching opportunities. Like, you know, it just seeing it happen. You should have searched for a knowledge article here, and here's why.
Right.
And like, just showing them historically. And it really is about just repetition and getting those behaviors to change, because it's not they're not untrained. They're not unprofessional. They just forget the things. Sometimes you just forget what levers are sitting
right
in front of you.
When you're in the heat of the battle, right? When, you're like, okay, I may have used, there's a different tool I could have used. It's not infrequent that you go down a rabbit hole. And so when that happens, you know, like those are good conversations, you know, to have. You know, one of the things that I'll share with you, Matt, is, these solutions, you know, because we record our calls, when a call goes south, when a call just is not a good interaction, it's not good because a caller, you know, was rude or disrespectful, you know, it wasn't good because, you know, my agent fed into that negativity and didn't de-escalate. So I have a real story to share with you. You know, we had, you know, one of those calls, and they're rare. You know, I mean, this is, you know, a mature, capable team, and, you know, and one of my agents who had been there for like 9 years. So, a really calm, confident, reassuring person, you know, you would not have expected a call to go south on, but it did, you know, I called him into my office and we closed the door and we listened to the call together. And, you know, we talked about, you know, how this could have gone differently. And he, you know, he didn't disagree. I mean, you know, he certainly apologized. And, you know, I don't think I cannot think of another time that anything like that ever happened again. But I asked him if I could play this call in a staff meeting because I thought it was just a really good lesson. And you know, while certainly kind of painful and uncomfortable for, you know, the agent in question, I really thought it was going to be a good lesson. And he said yes. And I really, really appreciate it because, again, like, I don't necessarily want one of my not shining moments shared with my colleagues, but he knew, you know, that there were some new people on the team that this really would be a good lesson. And we listened to the call, you know, together at a meeting. And then we kind of all talked about, you know, how we can de-escalate these situations and, you know, bring it back into attention and focus on what the real problem is. And, you know, let me help you and get, you know, to the resolution. And having this at my fingertips, you know, proved to be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Hats off to you for creating a culture where that vulnerability can exist, because that, I think that is kind of what, that is the challenge. I'm going to be out there. You're going to actually be listening to this what I thought was a private conversation with a customer.
Right. Yeah.
And we're going to pick it apart. And that is difficult. Was it shared with just the service and support team or greater IT in general?
Just my team. I mean, I certainly could have, you know, shared it. And another good thing about these technologies, especially because, you know, you're recording the video as well, like, you know, when you're remote controlling into an employee's computer, you know, it's one thing for me to document the problem, one thing for me to even just give a screenshot, you know, I got a screenshot, but when you get the whole video of like what the real situation is, now, like, I can append that to the ticket so that, you know, if we're escalating it, it goes to, you know, an engineer. They're actually seeing what happened. It's not just, you know, not just what somebody typed, not just a screenshot, but they're seeing exactly what happened because we've recorded, you know, not just the audio, but the video as well. And when I have asked for some things, you know, it's one thing to tell me, it's another thing to show me, and the show me just carries a lot of weight.
Man, my futurist is like already kicking in and like, oh, every ticket is going to be fully recorded and appended to a ticket from now on. And then the cloud space question comes up, like, how do we store all those trillions of terabytes of data? But yeah, I totally get it. Like, tier two, they're not going to just send it right back saying, hey, you didn't do this. They're going to watch that video, or they're going to, you know, sort through it really quickly or look through the transcript to see where their part comes in. Everyone benefits. Not
it actually
just
begs
tier one.
You actually hit on something that we did, which was, you know, there's, you know, each recording has a unique URL, right? So that URL through an API got embedded in the, we happen to use ServiceNow, got embedded in the ServiceNow incident So you literally were a click away from listening to the audio and watching the video of that call. So again, it wasn't fully downloaded or embedded in ServiceNow, kind of cluttering things. You know, the Calabrio did its part and ServiceNow did its part, and, you know, a single click away to get to it.
Wow, man. I mean, this kind of brings me back to Mauricio Corona's episode where he talks about how the service desk is kind of like this engine for data for AI to provide suggestions, not only to service and support, but to everyone. And you could see how seeing these videos and hearing this audio, combine that with an engine to review that and, you know, pick through all that data, how that could, you know, really help the agent in the moment be coached, AI coaching, or even afterwards, like through that sentiment analysis. Hey, we noticed, you know, on Mondays, you're more angry with your customers than you are on Fridays, you know, and then you can look at your staffing models and say, okay, this person is not a morning person. Maybe they're doing some of that, the project management stuff in the morning, and then later they're hopping on calls or something like that.
Yeah.
So where would you go with this next? Like, what improvements would you make? What actions have you taken? How do you change what you do based on this?
So I'm going to take this to, you know, how am I better coaching our analysts, you know, so that they know how their specific contribution benefits, you know, the service desk, directly impacts the, you know, our metrics. And when you kind of put a bow around it, you know, where they can really see, and, you know, like, it's one thing when you share your first contact resolution metrics, right? So, you know, that's an important metric for, you know, for a service desk or, you know, or our abandonment rate. And like, how does that, you know, how do I tie that directly to an individual analyst contribution? And that really was kind of the challenge, you know, that we wanted to address. And I think we did a good job with it. And you know, the challenge is that data is like all over the place, you know? So, you know, so we kind of created four categories. And again, when a supervisor or a manager, you know, has that productive one-on-one time with somebody, you know, we're looking at the numbers. We're looking at actually, you know, like what happened, you know? So, so for instance, you know, we track presence, right? So that's important for a call center. We've created optimized schedules based on call arrival patterns and our desired service level attainment. So you being in your chair, you know, ready to take calls, you know, so we call it presence. So that's, you know, did you clock in late or did you leave early? We schedule breaks, we schedule lunches. Did you take too long for a break? Did you take too long for lunches? And, you know, you're kind of overall what I'll call not ready time. And most ACD systems, you know, track not ready time. There are certainly some naturally that occurs in your environment, you know, but you kind of want to see, you know, where they're at compared to, you know, to their peers. Another category, you know, that we look at is operational performance. So, you know, what is this specific agent's first contact resolution results? That's something that we can, you know, track and see, you know, is this helping or hurting, you know, our overall department's, you know, FCR goals. Another one is, and this comes again, like this data is coming from all over the place, right? So presence data is coming from our timekeeping system and from our ACD system. You know, some stuff's coming from ServiceNow, some stuff's coming from Calabrio. So bringing it all together was quite a challenge, but certainly, you know, beneficial and rewarding. So another metric that we look at is called a RONA. So a ring on no answer. So your phone rang, but you didn't answer it, and then it bounced to the next person. So that would be a ding. That would be a negative. We want that to be, you know, a lower number. And then their scorecard, you know, so again, we're doing that five calls a month. We're pulling up a scorecard to see, you know, did they do the greeting correctly? Did they ask for permission to put somebody on hold? Were they courteous? Were they empathetic? Did they document the ticket correctly? All those kind of elements of what a quality interaction, you know, would be. So we kind of aggregate that into, you know, into a score. And, you know, some things are weighted more important, you know, than others. So we do have some weightings, you know, on that. And then, you know, what we'll call quality, right? So, you know, so in that quality, we have, you know, if a incident gets escalated and that person, that engineer, you know, technician, you know, felt in their opinion that that incident could have or should have been resolved by the service desk, they can tag that. And that's this kind of feedback loop that we look, and we obviously we want fewer, you know, tag tickets, you know, but those taggings are actually the basis for some really great conversations, you know, with our break fix teams, you know, with unified communications teams, because you know, now you're looking at, like, again, you know, the real, you know, the real transaction, and, you know, maybe we didn't have a good knowledge base article. Maybe we didn't train somebody, you know, maybe we need a better training, you know, on these things. So, and by tagging them, you know, creates, you know, really good fodder for productive conversations. We're looking at your average handle time. You know, are you, do you take a long time to resolve a ticket? Do you take a short time? Again, that in and of itself isn't a good or bad conversation. You know, we're, you know, if, you know, but, you know, what, some of the things that you might see is that, wow, this guy's average handle time is great. He's knocking them out in 4 minutes, but then his customer sat isn't good. Right, he's resolving stuff, but maybe didn't totally resolve it, or maybe he rushed and, you know, tried to get through the call, you know. So
yeah,
you know, so his volumes are great, right? And this guy's answering 50, 60 calls a day, you know, but not necessarily doing a good job. Lower first contact resolution and lower customer sat. You know, this paints a real picture, you know, as a subject of, you know, a really good heart to heart productive conversation, you know, with your analyst. And then, you know, so that was three. The fourth category that we look at is, I'm calling it generally customer satisfaction. So it's your customer sat scores that come from ServiceNow and customer sat surveys from there. But we also have a program called Bravos. So if somebody, it's a reward and recognition program. If somebody goes above and beyond, we'll note that in, you know, in their, you know, their monthly one-on-ones as well. And all these things are like drill downable. So it's like one thing to look at the metric. It's another thing to double click and drill down and actually see the transactions. So, you know, so that's all kind of part and parcel of, you know, what I like to think of as a good quality management, you know, program.
I love it. It makes so much sense. I'm already envisioning in my head, like, you've got this dashboard that the agent and you can review, and there's all this data on it for you to just go through. And the agent gets the advantage of just seeing it all in one spot and understanding how they're performing. And the manager or the leader or the team lead that's working with them, they get the opportunity to talk through that stuff objectively. Like, there's very little subjectivity to it, and that creates a good improvement opportunity as long as you're creating that awesome culture of vulnerability.
Yes.
And then you can see, like, okay, this is the improvement plan. You need to work on your soft skills. Here's how you're going to do that. Your average handle time is going to go up. Next time we meet, I want to see that handle time go up. And I want to see the CSAT go up. And here are some tips to go through that. Just beautiful. I mean, and creating those opportunities for those learning moments, like tagging tickets, I think that's just a great idea altogether. Kind of surprised that we don't have a name for that, you know, that... You know what I'm saying? That ITIL doesn't have a name for that, or
right.
There's no framework for that, but we all know what you're talking
really
about.
It was really actually easy. You know, it sounds like something that might be hard, but
no.
I mean, we literally just tagged the ticket, and we actually had like these little shorthand codes, like,
yeah,
you know, it could be tagged because not enough documentation, or, you know, it wasn't clear, or you escalated to the wrong group. Like, that's a reason that you would kind of get tagged. You know, so again, there's little things, you know, that can blow up and become big things because they become habit forming. We want to nip those habits in the bud, and only by getting that feedback, you know, it's you know, some people might look at it as confrontational. You know, I don't.
Uh-huh.
You know, I always looked at it as good constructive feedback from, you know, from our downstream people, right? You know, so we're, again, you know, front line, and if we can't resolve it, you know, want to make sure that that we're providing accurate information, that we've coded the ticket correctly, you know, correct priority, urgency, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it is part of continual service improvement, right?
Yeah.
We're at the bottom of the stream. We're at the mouth of the river going into the ocean. Like, this is the last chance that people have to get their stuff working. And it just, it makes it that much easier. And that, I think, is the point, actually, is that it doesn't have to be difficult. ITIL doesn't have to tell you you have to do it. Just come up with something that works for your team. Call and tag tickets, put some shorthand on it, and just see how it works. Just try that out. Someone posted recently in the Back to ITSM LinkedIn group, which if you're not a part of, go check it out. Back to ITSM, the number 2.
I will have to check. I'm in a couple groups, but I don't think of that one. So I'm going to check it out. Thanks.
Someone posted recently, hey, what was your first ITIL project like? And I thought it was a great question. It brought me back to remember that we started off with a very ITIL V3 focused incident and request process. It was great. And our team didn't need a lot of overhead when it came to problem and change management and just adding them. We just came into it thinking, okay, what's going to work for us, and try stuff out. If it works, great. If it doesn't, let's adjust. And this is like just a great example of how you can do this on your service desk with your agents. So, Jason, where can people connect and learn more?
So definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm an active LinkedIn participant. Jason Turner. I don't remember what it's funny. I'm on Twitter, and I'm a Twitter reader as opposed to a Twitter poster. But I do have, you know, some good people that I follow. Matt, you happen to be one of them. And I always appreciate, you know, the content and your perspective, on ITSM. And certainly, you know, I would encourage people to, you know, to participate in HDI. I happen to be an officer in the Philadelphia chapter of HDI. Great community, you know, for some people that are going to listen to your podcast. They will have a local chapter that they can participate in. If you don't live near an active, you know, local chapter, there's a national virtual chapter. And again, you know, great networking. And you know, it's always you'll find your peers are always willing to share.
I love it. Great suggestion. Go check out HDI at thinkhdi.com. And Jason, thank you for joining us on Ticket Volume.
Great, Matt. Good luck with your future podcasts.
Thank you so much. And to our audience, thanks for listening to this episode. We've got a bunch more out there. There's a lot more coming. There's a huge back catalog now, so make sure to subscribe to receive an alert every time there's a new episode. You can also submit a specific topic or guest by DMing me or leaving a comment on Ticket Volume's LinkedIn page. And speaking of that, if you liked today's podcast or want to share feedback, please leave us a review. The algorithms really reward us for that stuff. This podcast is brought to you by Invigate, the all-in-one IT service and asset management system that helps organizations with world-class IT support teams. If you're looking for a solution to build your help desk without the headaches of year-long implementations, you will love Invigate. In fact, IT teams from NASA, Toyota, and McDonald's use Invigate to manage requests, automate workflows, and centralize inventory data so that they can focus on delivering better service. Because remember, good service is good business.